Now, there's a hotel that I stay at in Cape Town sometimes that has Khayelitsha cookies in the rooms. And it's very nice. You get a little biscuit with your tea, and they're very nice. Crunchy, ginger, usually. I'm delighted to see that they've expanded the repertoire, the range of Khayelitsha cookies, because baking a biscuit's not a complicated thing. It's a bit of flour, it's a bit of flavoring, and it's a bit of butter. Mix them all together and pound them into a shape, chuck them in the oven, and you get a biscuit. I don't mean to oversimplify it, but Audrey Williams is looking at me as if I've just said rude things about her favorite pet. Audrey, you own Khayelitsha cookies. How did this adventure start?
Thank you very much, Bruce. It started in 2005 at the Nubuntu Training Center in Khayelitsha. We're an American.
This is before you, though. This is before
that's
you.
That's before me. I joined in 2007. We're an American lady started training up unskilled ladies in Khayelitsha how to hand bake and hand bake cookies with donations they received from flour, like you said, flour, butter, sugar. And then the sponsorships ran dry, and they had to start walking with baskets in town to sell the cookies to afford more raw ingredients to train up more people. And still till today, that's how we function. So I joined the business in 2007, gave up my career at a large corporate.
What were you doing before you did this? Because this is an important bit of context.
I basically trained up baristas. So I come from a coffee background. Right. So I was in sales and marketing in the coffee industry. And, yeah, I did very well for myself at a very young age and basically left the corporate world. And the day I walked into Khayelitsha Cookies, I just realized that this is my passion. This is my future.
What got you there?
It was four ladies, three normal little tables, three house ovens. And when I walked in, I saw a future of 1,000 ladies plus baking. And still till today, that is the dream that I'm chasing. And we know that every lady we employ basically looks after 5 to 7 dependents every night. So for us, we measure success in numbers and how many people we employ.
How did you come get in touch with Khayelitsha Cookies? I mean, who made the connection between you and a business that was heavily indebted and on the verge of shutting down?
Well, I basically got tired for the, like in my industry, in the training up the baristas, very long working hours. And yeah, basically started applying for jobs online and in newspapers. And the day that I was on my way to go and sign a contract with a new company, I got the call from Khayelitsha Cookies to say, come in for an interview.
Now, I mean, that sounds like a far more formal business than I would have anticipated Khayelitsha Cookies to be.
Yes. and it was.
Explain.
So basically, I mean, you walked into this factory that wasn't food safe as yet. As I said, literally like walking into your own home kitchen. And most days we wouldn't even have any baking to do. So the ladies would arrive for work. They would actually go back home again. And I looked back at the ordering books the other day, and we rejoiced when we had like 1,000 cookies that we had to bake, because then it was like a phenomenal day in our lives. So, yeah, and it took some work to actually grow it to where it is today.
How much of a problem, how much trouble was Khayelitsha Cookies in at
huge,
the time?
Huge problems. So I worked for them until 2013, when the two directors called me into office, gave me a box of tissues and told me that we employed just under 50 people then, that the business needs to close down. And we were indebted with 2.5 million rand. And the net asset value of the business was only 100,000 rand. And that is where I went home and I prayed, and my husband prayed with me, and God gave me a verse in Leviticus 26 verse 10. I knew that I need to offer them one.
I'm
going
to test you on this one. What does Leviticus 10 say?
You will be a blessing to others out of your overflow. And
all right, then.
Yes, and I mean, that was a big problem or promise for a business that doesn't have anything to give.
How did the directors, and without, I mean, again, with all the best intentions in the world, debt is a terribly easy thing to rack up.
Yes.
But how did they rack up that much debt in such a tiny enterprise?
What takes us 40 days to bake, 40, takes a machine one day. And people were not prepared to pay more for a hand-baked cookie than a machine-baked cookie. And to also get the facility food safety accredited, there was huge amounts that we had to invest in the business to get it to a point where we could start supplying the Nestle's and the Purities and the Kleenex's in life. And that's basically why we ended up with so much debt. You know, it's that first 5 years where you really grow the business. And yeah, I mean, that was the main reason behind it. And everybody told me that I've lost my marbles and I should get booked into a institution for offering them 1 rand for the business and taking over 2.5 million rand debt for a business that was worth 100,000 rand in net asset value. So
now, is that after your night of prayer, you go home
yes.
to your husband and which one of you bright sparks came up with the idea of offering a rand for the business? Because now you're overcome by faith, of course.
Exactly. And the bright spark was me, and my husband is still bold till today after that decision.
You offered a rand for a business with 2.5 million rands worth of liabilities. You took on the livelihoods of 50 women who between them would have 250 dependents. And
yes.
you set about driving a turnaround.
Yes. And the turnaround for us came really with my fellow director, Eunice, and our management team. And we decided, look, the only way we're going to beat this is we actually need to start manufacturing like a machine would, but by using manual labor. So we spend a lot of time in the factory actually streamlining the processes and working on our productivity to turn the business around. And that is truly, honestly, in the first year, we started making profit. And since then, we've been paying back debt. So we've also gone through a relocation lately where the business suffered some losses again because it was a huge capital investment that we had to do. But again, we're starting to turn the business around. And with the business, we currently function on 0.01% profit margins. So most people will tell you, get out of that business. Why are you still in the business? You're insane.
You're insane. Yeah.
And the long and short is when you walk into that factory and you see the woman and you see how they've started, you know, like a learning in life and how they look after their children and the pride that they've developed and putting their children through school and knowing that their children do not form part of the statistics of 64% of and South African children not reaching the age of 5 years due to malnutrition, then it makes it worth it to manage. It makes it worth it to run.
But how sustainable are you? Because you don't have any margin for error. I mean, something bad goes wrong.
Yes.
It's tickets.
It's tickets. And we experienced that basically in April because we relocated. And literally 2 days after we were in our new facility, we had a flood because the builder messed up with the roof. And it's a property that we rent. And it used to be an old building that burned down and they rebuilt it newly. And the builder never fixed the gutters properly. Right. And we literally had a flood from the roof over our ovens, over the DV boards, the architect, and we're still down 4 ovens as we speak. And I mean, each oven is like 320,000 rand. So, you know, it's not very easy to try and recoup that again. But I think with passion, with determination, with mentors in the industry, and knowing that you're truly making a difference in people's lives, it's the driving force behind keeping this business going. And we've seen it with our management team. They are absolutely so passionate and committed that we work until some nights, if we know huge orders needs to go out, we work until 9 o'clock, the whole team. You know, and we do it with a smile on our faces because we know that that's what we need to do to actually continue trading the next day. And what we've realized now is we need to start focusing on exporting because the export market is more geared for paying a higher premium on the products that we do because they understand the social entrepreneurial aspect and the social upliftment of what we're doing, where the South African economy and the South African consumer doesn't appreciate that much yet because we got conditioned to the situations we face in South Africa.
I mean, I watched a video of your production process and you're not quick.
No, especially me.
As a team, it's not possible to have massive production lines and be producing 10,000 biscuits an hour or whatever an industry standard might be.
Yeah.
It's because of the nature of the labor intensivity of it, your purpose being employment and opportunity for people who otherwise wouldn't have opportunities.
Yes.
You choose to take an old school approach to producing your biscuits, which is lovely and noble, but not efficient.
Correct. And I've been challenged on this quite a bit. So what you will see in our new factory is part of the production lines of our large key clients that doesn't necessarily want the product packed by hand, and they don't mind it going through a flow wrapper to actually, you know, like increase a production capacity and speed that we can utilize that labor again in producing more cookies. We introduced a flow wrapper, so it's our first sort of mechanized piece of machinery that we've got in the factory. And we also bought the entry-level one, you know, and we trained up the ladies. And without us knowing, it was also setting a new precedent in the industry, because I dare someone to phone me and tell me that they've got a lady managing a flow wrapper. You do not get flow wrapper operators that are women. So, yeah, we got quite clued up with our little toolboxes and you know, like opening up the machine and getting it sorted. So, you know, so we know and we realize that it needs to be this balance. It needs to be a fine balance between productivity, keeping the core of our ethos in keeping things as manual as possible, but also where possible, introduce the slightly more mechanized. But even now, we had to develop a pneumatic dough divider to portion the products correctly. And, you know, to eliminate waste at the end of the day. And we have to. We can't buy something off shelf. We have to get stuff made up that it's still as manual as possible to keep in line with the ethos of the business. And for me, that's the most important.
Who are your customers? I mean, where do you move biscuits?
Well, Purity is one of our large customers. So all the Purity baby products, the teething biscuits, the rusks and the biscotti. We also bake for Clicks under their own brand in retail, also the teething biscuits. And there we won new product developer of the year in year one that we started very supplying. Cool. And it was because we developed this new funky recipe that contains fruit and veg for babies. And then we launched a cereal bar. We launched a butternut rusk, you know, so it's a healthy alternative for the kids. And then also your Garden Courts, your Southern Suns, your Tochosan Hotels. Of late, we started supplying Sun International Hotels, Protea Hotels. So that's basically, and then also Syro. And I must say there, I'm very honored because that's the company I worked for before. And they were actually the first key client that said to us, we will support you because we support.
Is Sarah Ann Orfanidi still running Syro?
Is
Sarah Ann Orfanidi still running Syro?
No.
No. Okay. Well, then she was there for a bit. I think she was selling coffee for a bit at AVI. But I'm glad that you are getting that support. I mean, it's been critical in terms of being allowed to develop this business. So, how many biscuits a week are you baking?
Well, we can start with per day. We average at the moment 82,000 cookies in a day.
82,000. Yes. Is that 5 days a week or is that?
Yes, 5 days a week. So, on average, in a month.
1,000 odd. A week, sure.
It's basically in a month we average about 1.6 million cookies that we put through the factory, each individually wrapped, single wrapped, hand packed, and baked.
You know, if you got a machine, you could do like 10 times as many.
And that's actually what the engineers told us. If I replace all my staff with a machine at this moment in time, we increase our output threefold per day, and I go down to 12 staff members. That's the sad reality of mechanization, but it's also needed.
How tempting is that for you?
I must say, times like what we had in April, May and June, where we were down to using 3 ovens instead of our normal 11 ovens, and the debt just started piling up again, I was very tempted to do it. And it takes you every day to walk down when you feel despondent and you see the staff and you actually, you know, like speak to the staff. We realize, you know what? If I'm not going to do this and if I'm not going to push through, who's going to do that for you?
And then you've got this guy, Leviticus, who's been dead for 2,000 years, shouting in your ear.
Exactly.
What gives you the purpose? I mean, is it religious faith? Is it a sense that if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it, and we've got enough problems in the country as it is? So
I would say it's a combination between passion and faith. And my passion is for children. I think if South Africans out there, and I do get emotional when I talk about this. Yeah. If you've ever held a dying child in your arms, and the reason why that child dies is because they didn't have food, it will change the outlook in your life completely. Mm-hmm. And I've been there numerous times. So every morning when I drive to work and I see people waiting next to the robots for work for their day, I know they used their last money to get there in the hope of finding a job today. And the reason why they want to do it is to put food on their tables.
There's no lack of desire. There is no lack of wanting to do the job. We just don't have the jobs. And tragically, exactly. So many people in quite a charged, politically charged, union-charged environment have opted.
Yes, union-charged. We know that.
have opted to go this route. Do you bash heads with unions?
Yeah, we do. We bash heads with the union for quite often. So the four official in our area actually resigned after dealing with me. but yeah, we fight the fight. And I think the unfortunate thing is they target the uneducated, unskilled staff members. And we find it more so in years that leads up to voting. You know, with empty promises and, you know, like they don't give the staff the right detail and the truth at the end of the day. And remember, the unions, they function on fees. So they will tell the staff any given lie to actually get them to become members, to end up with fees. And then it's the business owners who have to deal with unmet, unrealistic expectations. And yeah, so I bump heads with them quite a lot. We went through our first ever strike last year in 12 years. And it was heartbreaking. It was gut-wrenching.
And this is important because a lot of people listening to us this evening can say, well, I would have mechanized by now. If people for whom I'm creating an opportunity are not wanting to share that opportunity, well, then, hey, here's a machine that all it wants is a bit of electricity and oil occasionally.
Yes. And I must say, again, in the strike, both Eunice and myself, the strike really broke us emotionally. That much I can say. We prepared for it physically, but we never prepared for it emotionally. And when we worked through the strike, we looked at the staff members that didn't go on strike. And we realized we can focus on the negative that's happening outside, or we can focus on the people that we know we've changed, not only their lives by giving them a job, but by enriching people that they take responsibility, that cycle of dependency on grants and dependency and the entitlement that goes with, you know, like a lot of the stuff that we get from informal settlements of you owe me, was broken. And they would have literally given their lives for me and Eunice. And for me, that inspired me more than actually the staff that was striking outside. And I realized there when I looked in the factory the one night, you know what, this is why we've got this business. This is why we do what we do. You win some, you lose some. You can't change everybody. But the ones that we did manage to change is the ones that we live for.
Audrey Williams, a motivational and inspiring story. The co-owner, she bought the business. When are you going to pay your debt down? Because you paid a rand for the business, took 2.5 million rand of somebody else's debt. When does that disappear? When are you all clear?
So what we need to do is they allowed me 10 years to pay off the debt. We've already settled 880,000 rand of that debt.
You're a third of the way.
Third of the way. We've got 4 years left, so we really need to start hurrying up.
What are you sitting here talking to me for? Go and bank.
Exactly.
Audrey Williams, co-owner of Khayelitsha Cookies. A lovely story.